Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads from over 200 countries and your number one source in after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey everyone, welcome to Spotlight On. I'm so excited to be here today. First of all, I'm Kristen Carroll, and my co-host for the day.
Yes, hey guys, Scott Moore here.
We have a special edition of, you know, we have the talented actor, musician, model, Riley Smith with us.
Thanks for having me.
Quadruple hyphenate.
Yeah, exactly. What else can I add to that?
Let's just take it down
just
to acting.
Acting? Yeah. Okay, cool. So we were going to, you know, we're so excited to have you on. We can ask you all these questions about True Blood now.
Now we can say anything we want.
Yes. Right? I love it. Because even on the red carpet, I interviewed you on the red carpet.
That's right.
Although you did give me a little.
I gave you more than I was supposed to.
Oh,
and I took a little flack for that. But, it was hard. We've been doing a lot of interviews for the past few months and I can't say anything. So it kind of just goes in circles. But now we can talk.
I want to overall, how would you describe your experience on that show?
It's an amazing experience for a lot of different reasons than normal. Mostly for me, I was in the middle this year of a holding deal on another TV pilot that we're waiting to find out. And so contractually, I'm really not able to do anything else anyway. But the casting directors of my pilot also cast True Blood. And so they were the ones that kind of helped put this whole thing together and made it possible. And so it filled this void for the last 6 months where I wouldn't be able to do anything. And I actually got to join a family and you know, especially coming in on the last year, I always tell people it was kind of like the last 2 weeks of school. Remember, you know, where everyone sees the end in sight and everybody's just, you know, just cherishing every moment they have left together. And so, for me to be a part of that and to almost be a fly on the wall and be able to experience those feelings and that family camaraderie, and it was just awe-inspiring for me. It made me realize, like, hey, this is what I want someday. You know, I want a family like this, a show that goes 7 years and this kind of rapport. So for so many different reasons than you would imagine, for me, it really was just a blessed opportunity.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Now, how was it for them? You know, were they very, I don't want to say welcoming, but, you know, because like you were saying, you're coming in at the end of the show where they've been there for 7 seasons and they're very close and everything. How was it for you to be able to come into that environment when they're, you know, on their way out?
Yeah, they have a lot of people come through there, as you guys know, if you watch the show. Mm-hmm. So I think at first, I don't know if they realized, this is just another person. But then I think they realized, oh, he's going to stick around for a while. But from the get-go, they were so open with me. My very first scene I shot was my introduction scene at Bill's house, where we're talking about going to fight the H-Vamps.
Yeah.
And so here I am, I think it was like 5:30 a.m., I hadn't met anybody yet, and now I'm sitting on that couch with all the vampires in Bill's house, and I'm sitting...
All the leads.
Yeah,
right,
it's like,
there,
almost like I feel intimidating. Just thinking about it makes me feel
you
like,
talk about getting thrown into the deep end.
You're
you
like,
know?
Hey, Oscar winner Anna Paquin, how are you doing today?
Well, and, you know, luckily, I've been doing this a long time, and I've been very fortunate to work with a lot of great actors and well-known actors, and so I think that kind of helped my nerves, I've learned how to, you know, just kind of gradually initiate yourself into to a cast, and mm-hmm. and they made it so easy too. I mean, right off the bat, especially even Anna, who I didn't, you know, I don't have a lot with, and I didn't expect her to go the extra mile, and she did right away. And so, you know, I always said too, it starts at the top, and if your leads are really cool, everybody else is, because they kind of, you know, look up to the yeah. lead. And this show in particular with Steven and Anna is like, I mean, they're like the mom and dad of the family, you know, and they're just so great. I mean, for cast gifts this year, they gave us all this Polaroid camera with a inscription of True Blood and then a written note in blood from Anna and Steve. That's just saying, like, the best casting crew ever, love Anna and Steve. And it was a Polaroid camera that you can print out the pictures from your iPhone and print them out into a Polaroid film. And it's really cool.
That.
But, like, that's
awesome.
The kind of leads yeah. they are, mm-hmm. you know? And, yeah, they were great. They were the best family I could have had this year.
That's really cool.
How was it going into this fandom, too? Because you have so many hardcore mm-hmm. fans and... You know, your character Keith is with our girl Arlene, and mm-hmm. she's been there since the beginning. Mm-hmm. How was it going into that?
Well, I had a lot of friends that have been on the show in the past, and they had all told me, just be ready. This is crazy. This is going to be a wild mm-hmm. ride. And I didn't really, I've heard that a million times. I've been through it a million times, and I just didn't really think much of it. But mm-hmm. it was really eye-opening after that first episode aired. You know, you see your Twitter followers go up, and you get yeah. a lot more response with the Trubies online on social media, and I was nervous because I knew that they were very they're very dedicated fans. Mm-hmm. They're opinionated, and they feel very strongly.
They're very opinionated.
We know that,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah. And a lot of times it's out of the actor's hands. You yeah. know, you have to deal with what you've been written for yourself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you just pray that you're written in a way that the fans will like you. And what's funny is I didn't realize how loved Arlene is, Carrie is, on the show,
yeah.
and how badly the fans wanted her to have a happy ending. Mm. I didn't really understand that when I got the job. And I think if I had, it would have made everything even smoother for me because, you know, they wrote my character in a way that he was just set up to be liked and to win. Mm. And they wrote, you know, Craig Chester, who wrote the episode 7 and 5, he's just such a beautiful writer. And so really, I had no pressure. I just had to go in and do my yeah. job, and mm-hmm. the rest took care of itself. So I figured that out after episode 7, and everyone was very, very sweet to me and the character and Arlene and Keith's connection. So that took a lot of pressure off, and the rest of it's just been a ball, you know?
Well, and I don't know about the other fans, but I wish that the season would have been a bit longer so we could see mm-hmm. your relationship, Arlene,
right.
go. Because after that moment, you danced with her, and it just didn't matter.
Yeah.
I mean, as a girl, I was like, that is the cutest thing.
Well, and I kind of agree with you, too, because it was the same thing as that. I felt like, as a fan, too, that watches the show, we didn't get to really have a chance to see that relationship really develop.
Blossom, yeah.
And really blossom and authentically. And I do, like, a spoiler alert, in case anyone hasn't watched it, which I can't imagine, but they show the end scene, and you see, obviously, that you see who everyone ended up with, mm-hmm. and you see Arlene and Keith together. But mm-hmm. I still think it would have been nice. Even if we had like 2 or 3 more episodes, give us that 13 episode, let us see
yeah.
these relationships really blossom and have the chance, because they were trying to cram so much in, you really didn't get that opportunity to
yeah.
really watch that come together.
Well, you know, without sounding so appreciative, which I am, to, mm-hmm. to have the job, I would say a true competitor doesn't just want to be on the team. You know, he wants to be on the court or the field. He doesn't want to be on the bench. And so obviously, you know, there are times where I wish I had more to do on the show, but I also realized that my place on the show, mm-hmm. and I realized that they're trying to tie up so many loose
right.
ends with so few episodes left.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably didn't really have enough room to add another character, but they needed to do that for Carrie,
yeah.
which
mm-hmm.
was so great that they did.
Mm-hmm.
So when it hit the trades that I got the job, I think it was a really big deal, and I think I even assumed it was going to be a really big thing. But you know, you run out of time on
yeah.
screen, and
mm-hmm.
And obviously, you know, the first 5 to 7 leads are the most important. So mm-hmm. That's where they put their time. But again, I was just so appreciative to have been a part of it.
So there should be a spinoff, basically.
Exactly.
I think there should be an Arlene and Keith spinoff.
Right.
How
yeah.
would that be? I mean, to see, you know, raising kids as a vampire yeah. and how that works.
Make it a comedy.
Yeah.
They should. They haven't had a comedy except for girls, really. I think they need one.
Keith, a vampire and human relationship.
Keith's a bumbling vampire.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. The stepdad coming in trying to take care of the kids and hold down a job and working at Belfleur's.
Now, I'm kind of curious. They have Oh, I was going to say the toad or the frog. Now I'm.
I think the toad, right?
The toad.
The toad.
Yes. Yeah. I never got it.
You didn't get it?
No.
No.
So you're just like an A actor on set. A plus.
Oh, I was always on my best behavior there. You know, I with a show like that, you just want to, you know, come in on, you know, be a good soldier is what I say. Show up on time, you know, do your job, smile, and never complain. So I didn't get the toad, but I wanted the toad. Yeah.
You were like, guys, what can I do to get this without being too bad?
Yeah. Without getting fired, what can I do?
Because I think it was Carolina Wider got it because she fell on set.
Oh, dude, she's hilarious, that one. I love Carolina.
It's just great.
Who, out of the cast, because, you know, would you have liked to have worked with more?
Oh, gosh. I would have liked to work with all of them more under those same circumstances, to be honest with you. Like, you guys would like to see more Keith. Keith would have liked to, you know, work with them more. But, you know, I think that Nelson is so amazing with Lafayette. Yeah. He just, that was an unbelievable character that he created, and he was so powerful. So I think, you know, no matter what he does, he's really great. I'd love to work with him. Anna, obviously, is got so much more in her that we'll probably see in the future. But I think they all do. And I was so lucky to work with Carrie as my main connection, because she obviously is an amazing actress. Mm. So, all of them, really. I, to answer the question after a long-winded answer, all of them on that show again.
Yeah. For the spinoff.
Yeah.
I think so. That should be perfect. And what's like the one memory that you'll carry on? Like if we were going to ask you, like, what was the best part or even funniest? Like, did anybody pull a prank on you or?
No.
Or did you see any happen?
Yeah. I mean, the cast is so light over there. You wouldn't know it. But they've been doing it so long. They're so good at their jobs. That they can really, you know, jump in and out of character easy. I'll never forget Steven, one of the first days, he was had his iPad and he was showing pictures of his kids. And they're like, roll camera. He's like, and here they are on a bike. Action. And Sookie, come. So anyway, he's on a bike. And he's like literally flawlessly in and out of the character.
Does he keep the accent when he goes back and forth, or does he switch accents?
No, he switches
even?
Accents,
wow.
too.
That is impressive.
That's very impressive.
Crazy.
Extra points for that.
But, I mean, I think what I will remember most, to answer your question, is the rap party was pretty phenomenal. they had been telling me about that for a long time, and it lived up to all his expectations. HBO goes all out, and especially this one being the season or series finale. It was just something that I wish every fan could have been on the inside for. Cause I was a fan before I was on the show. And so all of a sudden to find yourself a part of it and celebrating this, historic show from the inside, it was really cool. I know you're jealous.
I'm thinking about it right now. I'm like, I went to the one at Comic-Con, you know, there's the party, which I thought was great a couple of years ago, but.
JC went to one and I saw his pictures like from last year.
I did too.
I didn't even get on the red carpet for last year's. So I definitely was looking.
Did you have good conversations with everybody that night?
Oh my God. Your whole cast is just so nice. But it's so big that, like, I was going back. I'm like, man, I have 17 interviews. I'm like, wait a minute, though. But I missed – I didn't get to talk to Carrie. I didn't get to talk to Nelson. I didn't talk to Joe. But I'm like – but I talked to, like, all of these people. Yeah. And I do have to say, you know, as a lead, Anna and Steven hit every single person on that carpet. And I was amazed. I thought for sure, like, I almost heard our camera person, like, pack up. Like, they're not going to stop for us, you know?
And they did.
And they, they did, which is amazing.
I took notes this whole year with just the way they carried themselves on set. That's how I want to strive to be in the future. They were great.
Yeah. I heard when you were first on set, I was watching an interview, that you didn't know they were married.
No, I didn't. I didn't, and that was a funny, awkward story. Because they kept flirting. You know, you could just feel it. You could see it
you're
between
like,
the
he's
two.
He's got a wedding ring.
Yeah, like, what?
And she said I don't want to misquote it, but they were talking about their kids, and she goes, the key is that you have to have kids with somebody prettier than you. And she smiled at him. And I was like, what does that mean? I know she has kids, and I know he has kids, and I didn't realize they're the same kids. So,
I love it. They're the same kids.
It was very awkward for me for about a day and a half. I'm like, how do they do it here on True Blood?
Your TV girlfriend helped me out, though.
Yeah, she did. Carrie filled me in, and
That's going to be good to have someone there that was there from the very beginning that could fill you in on everything, you know, what's going on, how the set works.
Yeah.
You got like the built-in person right there. So it worked out well.
I want to talk about some of your other projects as well, and we can definitely get back to True Blood. But last time you were here, it was for 90210.
That's right.
That's another thing, too. It's a different fandom than True Blood, but they're hardcore. And not only that, I mean, you have a new generation and an old generation. Mm-hmm. How was your experience different on that show?
Well, and I think that was one of the reasons why I went into this one with a little bit more nerve, because the 90210 situation for me, the fans they're harsh, you know, and I was with my character Riley, coincidentally, was with Annie, the lead girl on the show, played by Sinead Grimes, and a lot of the fans wanted to see Annie and Liam, those two characters, end up together, and here I come in on the last year and I shake things up and I'm with Annie, and so there was a lot of Twitter, you know, we're shipping Lanny or whatever they called him, and it used to just drive me nuts, but I knew there was nothing I could do about it, and I definitely couldn't respond. I just kind of had to keep doing my job and hope that people would come around to liking Riley and Annie. And what I found over the course of the year is, you know, if the characters are set up right, again, and you do your job, you know, well, people do come around. And they did. And so that was kind of an inside victory for me. I was like, yeah, all right, cool.
You're like, I'm going to win you over.
Yeah, right. Turning people, you know.
So you have a pattern then. You go into these shows and you shake them up.
Yeah. But you know, luckily with both of these shows, they've been really great characters, nice guys that ultimately, hopefully, the fans want to root for, and I enjoy playing that role. That's nice.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody when you play these characters, especially ones on such big shows, do they tweet you thinking that you're the personally coming in there and destroying their favorite relationship?
Well, yes. I think some people have a hard time, separating the fan and fan fiction. But, you just don't take it personal. And, you know, half the time I can't even read all the tweets. So I just kind of see some. And I'm trying to get better at it. We were just talking about this.
We were talking about that.
Yeah.
I feel like we need to all take a Twitter class just to kind of see how it all works.
See, to me, this thing, it's become a full-time job, this Twitter thing. I mean, if you want to read your own feed, that takes forever. Mm-hmm. If you want to read the feed of everyone you're following, that's even longer. And then you're trying to, you know, fill in the blanks with whatever you have to say. And it's like, you just don't have time.
Yeah. And being able to interact with everyone, because then you feel like if you're interacting with some fans, the other fans are going to be left out, and that makes it really difficult.
And then in the meantime, try to make a living. How are you supposed to do it when you're trying to...
you're actually working.
When you're trying to tweet.
Yeah.
And it's like, hold on, director. Don't call action yet. I'm tweeting.
Yeah. Got to send this one out, and then I can get back.
Do you think you'd ever get to the point where, like, you'd have somebody do your Twitter for you, and then it's like, you know how people, like, initial it? Like, hey, it's actually Riley doing this. Yeah.
I haven't even...
You're like, RS.
I haven't thought about that yet. I think at some point I'll probably just focus on my job and not worry about all the rest of that stuff, you know.
But I mean, I do think the cool thing about the things like Twitter now is the fact that the fans do feel like they get to interact with the people that they admire on screen so much easier than ever before, because it's not like you had to come out to Hollywood and hopefully run into someone at a restaurant. Like, now you feel like you can have that personal connection that you could never have before, which is so cool.
Amazing, amazing thing.
With anybody.
Well, I remember when I was a kid, if I liked somebody, I'd send them a letter.
Right.
Snail mail.
Exactly.
And pray for a response.
The fan club.
Yeah. You know, and then sometimes you'd never get one. So this is definitely a much more interactive world, and I think it's great. You know, for us, it's great. We get to see what people like, what they don't like. Sometimes it can make a difference, and sometimes it won't.
Right.
But either way, at least you know.
Right, because of course you're going to get those trolls that are going to come out there and be negative and everything just to be negative. And so there's pluses and minuses to it. But I do think, like you said, you get that instant feedback. Like after the show airs, you can see right away what people are actually thinking.
Yeah. Now, we watched the I did another show, the True Blood After Show, just Sunday night. And we got the five hosts. We're also big fans of True Blood. And Tara Buck and I were on that show. And so we got to watch it live with them and see their reaction live while they're and it was amazing to me, because I've been watching it all year, you know, just in my house alone. And so to see real fans like gasp and cry and yell at the TV, it's like, oh, this is awesome. It's really cool. I mean, I just say, I've done this a long time and I've done a lot of shows. I've never been on a show that's had this presence before, and it's really overwhelming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were thinking the same thing when we were watching that final episode, because there were so many things, too. We didn't know. Like, how is this final episode going to end up? Like, what are they going to do? So just sitting there and watching that after all those years,
so
and see that culmination.
Were you guys happy with the ending? Because everyone asks, and I don't know.
I think it definitely tied up all the loose ends. I'm glad that they didn't leave a lot of questions, because I feel like that would have made me really angry as a viewer.
Right.
And you fall in, and I had said this before, I mean, like, a lot of the fans have issues with some of the storylines throughout the seasons. But the thing that gets us back is people, you know, the cast is amazing, and the casting directors who just, it's perfect. The characters are, I fall in love with every character on this show. And that's what keeps me coming back, because I feel like, you know, I could go to the bar and, like, have a drink with Lafayette, you know, being my bartender, and, you know, have Arlene serving some food. I just feel it's so grounded and so great with the character development that that's what keeps me coming back, because I feel like I'm going back and being like, I'm watching my friends so-and-so.
And you feel like
they're
your friends because you've been there, like, a lot of Trubies. They feel like for 7 years they've been there. I mean, was it perfect? No, but I think, like, we've been not rehashing everything because we did do our after show on Sunday, but you know, I think with what they had to work with, they did a really good job, because I think the central plot with, you know, with Bill and Sookie kind of had to end that way. And I also like the fact, because like we said, we didn't get enough screen time with your character and with Arlene and a couple of the other people with their love interests and everything. So the way that they pushed it ahead a couple of years and had everybody at the table there, I think was a great way of being able to see where everybody was at without really having to spend the time that they could dedicate to the rest of the story. So I was actually happy with most of it. I didn't like the wedding scene. I didn't like some of the other things, because I felt some of that was too rushed and too disjointed. But yeah, I do think with what they had to work with.
Your girlfriend was there, and they made it during the daytime.
I know. Well,
to have a vampire wedding. They should have waited.
They should have at least till sunset. That's what we said. We're like, at least wait till sunset. I mean, I can see like 3 in the morning keeping everybody up that are humans, but come on. Could have done 8 p.m.
Well, we did, what's his name's wedding just a few episodes before in the house at night, so we all got to be there for that. Everybody was getting married. Arlene and Keith were supposed to get married this year on the show. That didn't
really
happen.
Well, that's what I was thinking too. We're like, are they going to do like a triple wedding, like all of a sudden, you know, like, is everyone going to get married now because everybody's together?
Andy and Holly.
Right.
Yeah.
I just thought they were going to rush and get everybody together.
But I agree with you guys with the way it was tied up with Bill and Anna. Like, you know, when he died, that was it. You knew. You know, and he disappeared, and they held on her for a minute in that coffin. And it was like, all right, he's not coming back.
Right.
And then I think for me, at least as a fan, I knew this is closure.
Right.
You know, this is it. And so sometimes when this is never going to come back again, unfortunately, now we know.
Exactly.
And so it's kind of a bittersweet thing.
Exactly. And that's how I felt too, is like you had to almost kill him off since you were wrapping up the show.
Yeah.
You had to do something to make this permanent, to be like, the show is over.
Yeah.
Because if you just said, oh, they're happily ever after and they tied everything up, it just kind of leaves, I think, a little bit of unsatisfaction, even though we always felt that they should be together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It still would have felt a little unsatisfactory. But I will say I do like the fact that the way they did it, I thought was really, really well done. And I like the way that, you know, Eric didn't end up with somebody, Pam didn't end up with somebody, but they were having a good time and everything. So I think it was good that they didn't have to tie everybody up with someone else either. So.
Yeah.
What's been one of the comments that you know, we were talking about Twitter. What have fans, like, told you about you with Arlene at the end there?
Everybody's just been so complimentary of the chemistry that we had. Mm-hmm. And everybody's been very happy that Carrie is happy, that Arlene is happy, I should say. And so that made me feel good that, you know, if you can, it's obviously a lot better to come on and have everybody go like, oh, great, we're glad you're here, than, oh, go away.
Yeah, exactly. Like you're a villain, like a horrible. And I think it's great too, because we saw her character grow. Someone from the very beginning that didn't want to be anywhere near vampires, and then to see her end up with one was kind of cool too.
I am not a fang banger. Well, we'll see about that.
Yeah, right? So how cool,
like,
is that?
Have some of my blood and we'll talk afterwards.
Right. So that was great to see her character grow throughout the years too.
Mm-hmm.
It really was. I also want to know, like, so you've done so much, so I don't even know what to go to next, to be perfectly honest. I want to talk about another big series as well that's coming back.
Okay.
24.
Oh, yeah.
How was your experience on that? Because that's another one where it was, you know, such a huge sensation.
Yeah. And I came onto that in season three, right when it was
really at the
starting
top of,
to take,
yeah, top
yeah.
of its oh, game there. The really.
Yeah. I got that
you
was.
You come in at all of them, like, right at the right time. Mm-hmm. They're like, we need to up our game. Mm-hmm. Let's bring Riley in.
Right.
I've been very fortunate. And the True Blood, or I'm sorry, not True Blood, the 24 was an interesting story because I was on my way to Canada that day to do another show that I just booked, and they called at the last minute. They said, you have this read for 24. You really need to go. It's a big role for the season three. And I said, I don't have time. I got to get to the airport. Yeah. And they're like, no, you have to go to do this. So I sped out to the casting. I budged in front of all the other people. I went in and I did it real fast. And they said, all right, cool. Well, we have some notes for you. And I was like, and it was like literally like Joel Surnow, John Cazar, the creators of the show. And I was like, sorry, guys, I got to go to Canada. I don't have time. And I just walked out. So they told me after I got the job, they're like, that's partially why you got the job, because you were the guy. Like, this guy was, you know, the character was all over the place and running from everybody and just, you know, a mess. And they're like, you came in like that.
That's great. Because so. You would have thought, like, that was a terrible audition. I just, like, bolted and left and went to Canada. I'm like, I didn't get that job.
Yeah. I feel like in a class they tell you not to do that.
Actual right? things not to do.
Yeah,
that
listen,
you
kids out there, don't listen to what I'm no, and what was great, that day I landed in Vancouver, you know, whatever, 4 hours later, however long it was. And I got a call from my agent, and they said, you booked 24. And I was like, oh, that's amazing. They said, and you booked this Olsen twin movie called New York Minute, and, which couldn't be more opposite.
Yeah, exactly.
Although both has to do with time and the title. So you're just bringing those in.
Yeah, so that was a good call that day.
Yeah, that's pretty fantastic. Yeah. Like right after you got off the plane, too. I'm like, man.
Yeah.
What came first?
Callbacks that quick.
With filming then, New York Minute or 24?
I had to do them simultaneously, and one was being shot in L.A., 24, and New York Minute was being shot in Toronto and New York. So I would do, like, you know, whatever the schedule was, it flip-flop, but let's say 3 days in L.A., then I get on a red-eye, fly to New York, wait, you know, land there, go straight to set, work for a couple of days, fly back to L.A. I did that for, like, 2.5-3 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm tired thinking about
rack
it.
Rack up some frequent flyer miles.
Positive.
Got a lot of those.
Yeah.
How did you get in your mindset? Was it during the plane ride where you're kind of like, okay, I'm not in a movie with, you know, with the Olsons, and then
I'm going back to play Kyle at 24. Yeah, yeah. I'm like, I got to get back to character.
Yeah. Well,
totally different.
At that time in my life, especially the character Kyle on 24 was definitely, something that I was ready to jump into and wanted to play. And so that one came really easy. Mm-hmm. And I knew also the statue of show I was on, you know, and I knew that this was a big opportunity. So my focus was always there. Mm-hmm. And the New York Minute one, you know, that was kind of second nature. It was young and light, mm-hmm. and you just kind of got to smile and flirt with the girls. So that one was just kind of, that was an afterthought.
How was it though, too? Because the Olsons, I mean, the very private people. Mm-hmm. I mean, you hardly hear about anything with them, especially nowadays. How was it working with them? Like, what are they? I'm kind of curious. I grew up with Full House.
Yeah, we all did.
Double Toil and Trouble. Yeah. I mean, like,
you got it,
grandmother's
dude.
House. Like, yeah, exactly.
They are very private girls. They're really, really nice. But they are, you know, they've got a huge team around them. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, you're trying to shoot in like Times Square with, at that time, they were the biggest things in the world. Okay. And so that was definitely was difficult filming with them because I literally one time saw a paparazzi pop out of a trash can. I'm not even joking. He was hiding in a trash can and came out of it and took a picture.
Oh, yeah.
But they were everywhere, and you had, you know, people lined up everywhere, and it was, you know, the minute they call cut, they'd have to get whisked away. And Jared Padalecki was the other boyfriend and myself. We would just get left standing there.
Like, in the street. In the middle of the street in front of all the...
And, like, you guys can just go to craft service or whatever.
Yeah.
But...
good luck with getting over there.
Yeah. But, you know, we were young 20s and shooting in New York and with the Olsen twins, and Warner Brothers movie. That was a fantastic time. Yeah, you know, we had a blast, you know.
Did you go out afterwards?
Always.
what was your place in New York?
Oh,
what's your
man.
Spot?
Well, this is a decade ago, so it changes.
I don't know any of the cool places in New York anymore.
Let me tell you, by the time we walked out of these spots, I don't even remember the names of them. But, yeah.
But they were, that's a good time, though.
Yeah, what right. an amazing time in my life. That was, yeah, filming in New York in general is always an awesome opportunity. But when you're doing it, you know, with two of the biggest stars of that time mm-hmm. And, you know, you're getting treated right, you're getting put in nice hotels. And, you know, I had a view literally at dead center of Central Park overlooking the whole thing heading north. It was...
That's nice.
Yeah,
nice.
I was like 23 years old.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know what I was doing.
All of the stars that you have worked with, who was one that was kind of almost like a mentor to you?
Wow. I've had, fortunately, a lot of them. Mm-hmm. I feel like, and I gravitate towards the older actors when I work because for me, it's always been the best way to learn, you know, learn off camera on how they conduct themselves, mm-hmm. On camera, how they work. I remember I did a pilot early on in my career that didn't make the air for NBC called Chestnut Hill, and Patrick Dempsey was the star of that. He played my uncle, and you know, this was just before Grey's Anatomy, but you know, he had been a major star as a teen and went through mm-hmm. it and was coming out the other end, and so he had a lot of great advice for me. And at the time, I was still, you know, playing a teen and young, so I didn't understand some of the things he's saying, but looking back at what he had told me now, I totally get it. And so he was a great mentor early on. And then when I did radio with Ed Harris and Cuba Gooding Jr., mm-hmm. they were both in different ways so great to me. You know, Ed's very, very serious actor, and I think he's probably one of the best actors of our generation. So he taught me a lot on set about the actual craft, and just watching him in rehearsals and going toe-to-toe with mm-hmm. an Oscar nominee every day. I think at that time I was like 23 or 4 as well. And, you know, I just got my butt handed to me all the time. But it was a great experience.
Yeah, it's like working out, like exercising, really, having to work with the trainer.
Yeah.
It was like, really going to challenge you.
For me, it was like an amateur boxer being in a ring with Mike Tyson is what it was like. And then Cuba as well. You know, Cuba, he's just so jolly and outgoing, and socially he was a lot of fun. You know, he always took care of me and took me under his wing. So those were great mentors. And then, man, I've been really lucky. I've had a lot of great ones. You know, I don't want to leave anybody out, but now you put me on the spot.
And yes, we're all like staring.
Yes,
at,
Riley. So. What else?
I'm trying to think. There's so many. I can't. I don't want to. I know I'm leaving people out.
But see, now you can tweet. You can tweet it later.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
And I'll include you guys on it.
There you go.
And you're another. I love this. We were talking earlier. How all of us were born in the Midwest.
Yeah. So
Iowa, Cedar Rapids, mm-hmm. and Chicago mm-hmm. over on this side.
We're both from Chicago.
Yeah. Well, born there.
Nice.
My dad was a pilot, so we moved around a lot, and I ended up in Florida, where everyone goes when
yeah.
you want to escape from the Midwest and
well,
North.
Chicago, to me, is the best city in America.
It's
you know,
amazing.
Memorial Day to Labor Day.
It's right, exactly. There's that window. And then
yeah. I was going to say.
After that.
When it's warm, I mean, there's...
Nothing better.
Right.
And the way that the community, you know, comes out of their shell when it's warm is like, you know, out here you wake up and it's 80 degrees
right.
and sunny, and I'm like, I'll go back to bed.
It'll be 80 and sunny tomorrow
yeah.
and in 6 months from now.
Yeah.
And
like the first year you get out here, you're like, I'm going to the beach
every single day. Exactly.
And then it slowly is like, oh, it's like 20 minutes.
You're like, oh, but it's always there. And it'll be 80
traffic.
Again
yeah.
in January
yeah.
and go then.
Yeah.
I'm always
Doesn't
just
matter.
Like, parking. Someday I will live near the beach
right.
to walk to it, and then I'll feel better.
I remember another one. To go back really quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Andy Garcia was
yeah.
I just worked with him
yeah.
last year on a movie called Christmas in
yes,
Conway.
Yes, you worked with my sister on that, too.
Your sister?
Mandy.
That's your sister
yeah.
in real life?
Yeah.
Wait, Mandy Moore's
yeah.
your sister?
I feel like the little kid with the dentist.
What?
Is this real life?
Wait, mm-hmm. wait. Rapunzel's
your sister?
Your sister?
Like, why, now, how have we been sitting here for this long and you've not mentioned
why would I not say that? But I was going to bring up the movie.
Yeah, dude. So, I didn't even know she had a brother. I'm sorry. This is amazing.
Yeah. So how was working on that movie?
Awesome. I love your sister, by the way.
Yeah.
I think
okay,
she
well,
was,
I would hope so. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. No. She, you know, obviously we both grew up in that same time in Hollywood. So I've known of her in the same circle for years, but we'd never met or worked together. And so I was giddy to work with her. But even more so, as she'll tell you, I was more giddy because I'm a huge fan of her husband's music, Ryan. So I, one of the first things I mentioned to her was like, when do I get to meet Ryan? And that's what I was most worried about.
She's like, never. He doesn't come out.
One time. He came to set once.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
They give you concert tickets?
Actually, Ryan is playing the Santa Barbara Bowl. So, Mandy, if you're listening, I'm going to be calling for tickets soon.
Yeah.
Or just ask Scott, right?
Right. I know. I'm like, I don't even have the tickets, but I will say, the funny thing is I go to Wilmington every year for the holidays because I have family, that are there. Yeah. And, the funny thing was, is I was there and you know how they always show all the different, TV shows and movies because they're really proud of all that. And they had Christmas in Conway there. I'm like, oh, that's pretty great. So they have that, all the list of all the movies and big things that are going on there. And I think Wilmington's such a great
place to shoot. I love that town. So I fell in love with it last year. And I'd been there before, but, it's such a great place to shoot. If I could get a TV series there, sign me up. It's the water is so beautiful and warm, and
it's great.
It's a great town.
But it's just like a great vibe. You can go out and you can hang out. There's a lot to do. There's great food. It's just a cool vibe. I love that whole area in Southport.
We went to Bald Head Island. I don't know. I know Mandy went out there with Ryan, but we went out there once too, and it's an amazing island right by where they shot the DeMille movie, Nicholas Sparks DeMille movie. Actually, I forget what it's called, but they shot that out there, and it's so gorgeous.
So, how long were you out there for?
I want to say we were there for like 2 months almost. I went, it's about 2 months. I went in mid-October, and I came back. I don't even remember. No, not October. I'm so turned around. I was gone 8 months last year on 4 different projects.
Wow.
I was only in LA for like 3.5 months. So last year was a blur. But yeah, I was there for like 2 months.
Now, how was working with Sherry O'Terry? That was a question I had too, because she just seems like she would be
so much fun.
So much fun. But I was wondering, is she serious? Because you meet people that are like comedics off
and then
screen, and then they're super serious in
she,
real life.
Yeah, every once in a while she'll talk serious, and then it's hard for me to, I'm like, let's get funny again. But no, I love her. We actually ended up just doing a project together that she called me for, because I told her I've always wanted to do comedy, but I'm known as a drama actor. That's pretty much what I get offers for. So that's what I do. But I love comedy. But I told her I'm not funny. And so she called me just recently, and we made great friends on the set. We would hang out. We went to the beach every day. We had a day off, and we'd go out for drinks every night. I love Sherry. But, so she called me, just a few months ago, and she said, we're doing a pilot, and I'm producing it, and I want to give you a role. The producers asked if you're funny. I said no, but we'll make you funny. And so I said okay. So we shot this TV pilot called HOA that they're editing right now, and Sherry's one of the producers, writers, and stars of it. So I'm excited. I think she has a couple other TV ideas that they're pitching that are great, and so she's phenomenal.
You play a character named Sean on there, correct?
Right? I do. Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about?
Yeah, the show is called HOA, and it's basically a bumbling comedy about all the characters that live in a homeowners association.
That's what it is. Yeah, because I was trying to remember, is it actually HOA, like the homeowners? Because I remember reading about it too, and I didn't know if it stood for something else.
Yeah, it stands for the homeowners association, and it's just everybody that lives there are characters, and I owned a condo out here for 8 years, and I hated the HOA.
Yeah, I have an HOA now, and I know all about it.
People told me, and I didn't believe them.
I know.
I quit going to the meetings because they never took me seriously. Anyway, and I finally sold the place because I couldn't deal with those people anymore. But so when she told me this was the concept, I was like, I'm in. And I got to play this like kind of he's not too bright, douchey personal trainer at the gym of the HOA. So it was fun. It was a great – I'm so happy that she gave me the opportunity to do comedy. So now I've been calling her going, well, am I funny? She's like, we're still editing it. You will be.
We have to do a lot of work to make it funny, but we're going to make you funny, damn it.
By the time it's done.
You'll be funny.
Has anybody drank out of this? Because I'm thirsty. Can I have
Oh, yeah. No, I've been
– No, there – yes, I have. Yes.
Yeah, these are all new.
Thank you.
You're good to go.
Thanks. Yeah, Sherry's awesome.
No, and I think it's a great concept, too, because like you're saying, I think a lot of people can relate to that, of having an HOA and dealing with all the ridiculous rules, and there's so many different directions you can go in, so I think it's a great idea. So I'm
cool.
Really well,
look,
excited
yeah,
about
look
it.
For it. They're about to start pitching it.
Yeah.
You said you had a joint one when you were out here when you got a condo?
I said what now?
You were part of your own HOA here.
I bought a condo when I was probably like 24. And, when I thought, oh, I need to grow up and be an adult. And so I bought this condo and, I didn't know the HOA I didn't know what that was until I had to go to these mandatory meetings and get hit with HOA fees for things that you didn't want.
Like, you can only paint your stuff this color and you can't do this. And
yeah, I had an issue. I wanted the stairs in my section to get redone, and they kept putting it off because it didn't affect anybody else. But then, mm-hmm. of course, I'd get hit with like an $800 fee for a new roof on somebody else's mm-hmm. leak. And I was like, this isn't even fair. So, yeah, I got out of that.
So you're like, I'm renting from now on?
I just sold, yeah.
Just
yeah.
buy a house and do whatever still, you want to.
Yeah, go, I'm yeah, still in it.
Buy a house and then, you can. You can paint it pink if you want. Mm-hmm.
So are you stationed out here now, or do you still have, do you go back to Cedar Rapids, or how does that?
Well, I have my family in Iowa, and I go back as much as I can because my little sister just had, her and her husband had a baby girl, and so I'm a first-time uncle. And so she's yeah. two now, and so ever since she was born, I've tried to go back a lot more because I want to, be in her life, but... and then fortunately my family gets to travel out here a lot. I actually have my mother in the studio from Iowa. She's visiting this week.
Hey,
she doesn't get to see me do this stuff very often, so this is fun for her. But so they get to come out a lot more, which is great. So I see them as much as I can, yeah. But I'm based in LA. I have been for 16 years. So
what was the final kick for you to come out here? Because you did start a pilot, and that was in New York.
Well, they cast right. – it was filmed here in L.A., okay. but they were casting out of New York in L.A. But that – I mean, that's kind of how I got out here. And then you just – I always say I was so young I didn't know any better. I just kind of
– just like I'm going.
Yeah, I just kind of thought I'm going to try this, and whenever it doesn't work, I'll stop. And then it never really stopped working. You have moments. I mean, obviously in anything in life, there's ebbs and flows right. and ups and downs mm-hmm. and it's all relative, comparatively speaking. But, I obviously had a roller coaster, but there was never any moment where I thought this isn't what I should be doing with my life. I've been really lucky. I've never even had another job. I left high school.
That is amazing.
I started this. As far as taxes are concerned, wow. I've literally never had another job besides acting.
Incredible.
But you play a little bit of music. I want to hear about that because I loved hearing about it, and I was listening to your songs. By the Way was probably one of my favorites. How did you how do you incorporate that with your acting, or do you think there'll be a time where you'll want to focus more on that? Because I know you said you traveled with Jordan Sparks.
Yeah,
right?
Well, we did. We opened up for Jordan years ago, and that was a really awesome experience to be able to play in front of that kind of crowd. But music has always been a passion of mine, a hobby, and you have so much downtime on sets. I actually have more downtime when I'm working than when I'm not working because you just sit around a lot on sets.
Yeah, it's a lot of go and mm-hmm. wait.
Yeah. So one movie I was doing, a kid played guitar and would, be on set. And then afterwards at night, we'd all hang out and he'd always play and we'd sing along. And I was like, I want to do that. So I bought a little vintage guitar, and then this kid taught me a few chords, and then other people taught me a few more. And I just started, teaching myself and writing, and it just kind of spun from there. And the next thing I know, I had another buddy named Christian Kane, he was on a show called Leverage for mm-hmm. TNT for years. And he plays music as well and had implemented a lot of his music in his work. And I thought, man, that's a really cool idea. I'd love to get my music in some of my stuff. So we recorded an album, and the guys that I recorded with ended up becoming my best friends to this day. And so we just kind of formed the band, started playing out a little bit, and a little bit became more. And then we got a really great fan base in Europe, surprisingly. And for us, it's always fun to go over there and play. And I feel like people in Europe tend to listen more. Here in L.A., everyone's kind of out to be seen, and this is where I'm supposed to be. And oh, by the way, take the card from my band.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Next week.
Exactly. And then just like tweeting selfies, like, yeah. Look, yeah. I'm with the band. Yeah.
So I don't really like to play L.A. that much anymore. But Europe's a blast, and the supporters over there are so great, and they get like tattoos of lyrics on their body, which is really crazy and cool. But so we go over there a couple times a year, and it's a good opportunity for us to, as best friends, go over the pond and travel. And then we also do shows, so we kind of make it a vacation, professional experience at one. But But it'll always, for me, be a hobby. It's never going to be anything more than that. But I will always be making music the rest of my life. I have a little studio in my office in my house. And anytime I have downtime, I'm in there making music. Right now I'm in the process of trying to make music for other people. That's my new thing. I'm tired of hearing myself sing. So I like to get other vocalists on stuff I've produced. And I don't know what'll happen with it. And I don't really care if anything happens with it. To be honest, it's you know, I act for a living, and that's the way I put myself out there to be judged. That's right. The way that I you know, that's part of my business. But music is for me. So I don't really put emphasis on really what anybody else thinks about it. Just do I enjoy it? And if I enjoy it, then that's a perfect hobby for me. And it's still artistic.
Exactly. It's still creative, and you have that own personal, private way to be creative without having to feel like it has to be out there.
All those songs have a real intimate relationship with me in one way or another. So, you know, it's almost like therapy in a way, just for me to get my stuff out there and be able to do it with, you know, I get to be the director and not be told, you know, which, by the way, I don't mind being directed. I love
it. But no, we get what you're saying, of course. Yeah. But take us back to so the corn-fed boy growing up in Iowa, how did you get into acting in the first place? How did all that begin?
Well, it wasn't planned, that's for sure. As we were talking before about nowadays with the we're in the social media world where I think everybody's more in touch with Hollywood or the business or the you know, entertainment. And in fact, people now are Instagram famous, Vine famous, and so in a way, they can be famous wherever they want to be.
Right.
And we didn't have that when I was growing up in my day.
Which is so weird to say because I feel like it was only 5 years ago.
Right, exactly.
Which isn't really like...
No, that's true.
And
there was no social media or anything.
No, there wasn't.
Yeah. So, I was growing up.
So,
no internet.
Moving to LA or getting into the business seemed like a far-fetched idea. It didn't seem real. And I did all the musicals in high school, and I enjoyed in singing and performing, but I wasn't good at it by any means. And you don't think anything past high school, really.
Yeah.
I grew up on a farm in the middle of nowhere. I had, you know, 30 some kids in my graduating class. So it wasn't.
That's crazy.
LA was not really on the radar.
Yeah.
But I got discovered by a model scout, when I was still a senior in high school. And, she, you know, ended up opening the doors for me to get into the business, which took me to New York first in a quick modeling stint, and really only because that was what was laid in front of me at that moment. So, you know, you walk through the door and you just kind of see where it goes. And then it just kind of kept going. I got really fortunate to get the right group of people around me early. I got a really great agent and good mentors and acting coaches and things like that. And so, you know, I got lucky because I feel like I had the right team around me and the right support system. I always kind of, you know, trusted them to guide me in the right direction. So, you know, I think that's, if I can give the kids nowadays any bit of advice, it's to find that, support system that you trust and the team around you that's gonna, you know, make the right decisions in your career. And not to think short-sighted, but to think, you know, long-term, because this business, like any business, it's a real business. And if you want to do it, you hopefully want to do it for the rest of your life.
Right.
And if you want to do it the rest of your life, you have to, you know, act accordingly and make the decisions that are going to, you know, help that situation out. So, it's a different world as we were talking about before. It's like
very different.
You know, I haven't quite grasped the concept of all of it yet, but yeah.
And obviously your parents were very supportive of you doing that. I mean, your mom's here, but I mean, they were supportive of you being able to go and live this dream and take off after high school and go for it.
Yeah. I mean, there's been, so many times that I've been down on myself and she's pushed me through. Like, I'll get emotional because she's sitting here next to me, but, I mean, you have to have that. Because, you know, in this business, you get beat down every day.
Oh, yeah.
Even while succeeding. Because you can succeed and then someone can tweet, you suck.
I'll try to tear you down. You're right.
Whatever it is, you know, again, it's all relative, but, every step of the way is a new challenge and it's definitely toughest at the top. And so I always, again, tell younger kids that are looking for advice that, you know, if you think it's tough now, then you should probably stop because it's only going to get tougher as it goes on. So, again, that comes back to having a really strong, you know, family core or whoever your support system is.
Right, because I think it would be, especially, I mean, I can't even imagine coming out here after high school and trying to navigate, even now.
Yeah.
But, I mean, especially, you know, when I actually did graduate high school and coming out here back at the turn of the century, it would be like, it would be really frightening, you know? So you're like, you need that core group because there would be so many different things you could get, so many different directions you go in.
Talk about directions.
It's overwhelming and scary.
Talk about directions. When I moved here, we didn't even have like a smartphone.
I know the Thomas Guide.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Pull out the big map.
Yeah, the Thomas Guide. Yeah.
It weighed 5 pounds. Yeah, yeah. 900 pages. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had a beeper. So if I got an audition, yeah. I'd have to pull over, put 25 cents in a payphone and call my agent yeah. and go to Kinko's and print out the paper.
People are like, what's a payphone?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm telling you, that was Strugglesville.
That was.
Right
that was my first job as a PA and I had to have the Thomas Guide. And I'm like, where am I going? Yeah. And then I was confused because there's two San Vicentes. I'm like,
you're right.
What?
And then Beverly,
there's another one on the west side?
Beverly
I still get confused with that. Yeah. And I have GPS on yeah. my phone. San Vicente, just I don't even
know. I know, right?
I
it's
don't
like,
even
what's
know
up with that?
That?
You don't even know what the streets are called. You just follow the.
Yeah, I just keep it. Actually, I'm better here. Chicago, I had no idea. I used to be like, okay, go past the McDonald's, take a right at the
two lights past the McDonald's.
Yeah. And then you'll find it. Like, that was how I navigated. My mom always hated it. She's like, thank God, California taught you roads.
my dad lives in the country. You know, he's a horse farmer, and he has the funniest sense of direction. It's like, all right, you're gonna go down to the corn mill, all right, and then you take a left on the corn mill, and then when you get to this cross, it's sitting down in the ditch, but you'll see it. Now you take a right at the cross, and then you take a left over at that red barn. I'm like, how do you get around?
I was reading. Speaking of that, you ride horses, right?
I do, yeah.
Do you still keep up with that as much?
Well, fortunately, it's come in handy with like 3 or 4 projects I've done, which has been nice. Mm-hmm. But I don't get to ride personally anymore as much as I'd like to, mostly because of timing and a horse is a big animal to store.
Yeah, right. It's expensive. Yeah. It's an expensive hobby.
It's really
expensive. I don't have enough free time to put into a horse. I grew up with hundreds of them when I was growing up. That's what my family did for a living. And so I understand the commitment that it takes for a horse and I wouldn't want to do that right now to a horse. I don't have that time. But I do have some friends that have horses here that I'll ride occasionally. And then in my newest show, Deliverance Creek, it's a Western. So
perfect. Yeah.
I was just going to ask you that. I was going to say, okay, wait. We're going to talk about Deliverance Creek. And I know you kind of, it's a Western. You get to kind of shoot him up a little bit,
we
but
do.
It's still Nicholas Sparks.
It is, yeah. I'm really, really excited for everybody to see it. It's, I've seen it and, you know, I don't say this about a lot of things I do, but it's really good and it has nothing to do with me. The entire cast is so well casting directors as True Blood. So you know that they mm-hmm. do a good job. Mm-hmm. And they all just play the role so well. The script is amazing. It's got the Nicholas Sparks romantic lust feel that you want out of The Notebook and the movies that he does. It's got an amazing look. We had, you know, feature directors and cinematographers do our show, and it looks cool. Like a big budget movie, but it's got this but it's got this raw Western, you know, shoot 'em up gunslinger bandit kind of thing going on. Wow. Too. So you know, I feel like the guys are going to like it, and I know the girls will love it because of Nicholas Sparks. So, you know.
It seems like a different thing for him, for Nicholas Sparks to get into, because he's had that same, and it's worked very well for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it seems like he's taking a kind of a leap and going in a different direction
and
here with this project.
Yeah, and he has a new movie coming out, too, The Longest Ride, mm-hmm. which is a, you know, kind of a Westernish type
yeah.
of a thing. So, yeah, he's got those roots. He's from Carolina.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So he always kind of had this similar, and it, you know, stories and love stories, and they're always based in North Carolina or somewhere. So
yeah.
It feels like he's taking a little change here, which is good.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. He brings that gentleman character
yeah.
into everything.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And this one has a really nice love triangle that I think everybody will sink their teeth into.
What?
no, sink their teeth into. Yeah, there you go.
Nice. I like it.
Nice segue there to keep them both in there.
What part of the triangle are you?
I am her old love. Her is Lauren Ambrose from 6 Feet Under, who plays the lead female named Belle Gatlin. And I am her first love, and then I go off to fight in the war. And when I return, she obviously has a new one, but mm-hmm. there are some ties that bind us that are going to make things a little bit more complicated.
Mm. Like, get off my woman.
Yeah. Get off my lawn.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the new guy doesn't know about the old guy, and the old guy doesn't know about the new guy. And then there's actually another twist I won't throw in there. So, yeah, it's got a lot. Like it's got a lot going on. So September 13th on Lifetime.
Just a couple weeks away.
So, yeah.
I can't believe, like, this has gone by so fast. Okay.
You just summed up my entire career in 10
minutes. I
know. Not even. I have very little notes.
I don't have any notes because you see how unprepared I am. I'm like, I'm just going to come in here and just going to sit down and we'll just go with it.
I was telling Scott I usually do this super fan question. A lot of people who watch it enjoy it. So the first question I always ask is, what are you obsessed with right now? Like, if you were just, you know, talking to your mom, what would you be like, Mom, I did this, you know, new thing, or I'm obsessed with this TV show or this movie, or man, I like
right
potatoes.
Now,
like, I don't know, whatever it is.
Well, right now, she just got in last night and I was telling her my new obsession is with Sweden, the country.
You went to a music concert there. I was going to ask you about last time I talked to you. You were going to go with Alexander Skarsgård.
Yeah, he was there.
It's like
he was our dream.
I know, right? Seriously,
he was the one that told me about this. It's called Way Out West. It's a music festival in Gothenburg, Sweden. And one night we were sitting on set, and this was right before Coachella, and we were talking about if we were going. I go to Coachella every year, mm-hmm. and I love music, obviously. So
yeah,
he said, "Oh, if you ever get a chance, go to this one in Sweden called Way Out West." And so when we wrapped True Blood, everybody was taking vacations. And so mine was one of my bandmates and best friends had just moved to Amsterdam for his real job in advertising. And so a couple of us decided we were going to go visit him. And so I said, well, if we're going to go to Amsterdam, let's travel around Europe and you know, make a vacation out of it. So we went to Belgium and drank some Belgian beers. And then we went up to Gothenburg, Sweden to this music festival. And when I got a hold of Alex to tell him that we were coming, he was like, wow, you're really going to go? I said, yeah, we're going. So we went and, you know, my grandmother, my mom's mom is fresh off the boat from Sweden. So we have a lot of Swede in us. And it was really fun because when I got there, they all started talking to me in Swedish. And, you know, I guess I kind of look like a Swede. And, I kept having to say, oh, I am Swedish, but I'm from America. And then they were confused, but the people there were so amazing, like so welcoming. And the country is just beautiful. I fell in love with it. So right now my obsession is Sweden. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I hear it's an amazing place. And the next thing we know, we'll be like building a cabin out there.
A castle.
And like playing your music out there.
After 5 seasons of Deliverance Creek, I'm done and moving to Sweden.
What's the craziest thing you saw in Amsterdam?
The craziest thing. See, everybody has these
ideas.
Yeah. These ideas.
I was in Europe. I never made it out there, but I was there for school, so I don't know if
I've been
Pepperdine
there.
Would have been okay with that.
See, everybody thinks this, right? And I thought that too. I've been there 5 times since my buddy moved there because I love it that much.
It's
not what you think. I mean, it's this quaint little amazing town with all these canals and everybody's on bikes and, again, everyone's really cool and they have amazing parks over there. So there's this one park there called Amsterdam De Bos that you can bike out to about, it's like 30-minute bike ride. And the park is the most insane, visually insane place I've ever seen. It's like Disneyland for adults, and you just ride your bike through it, and there's a million trails and rivers and ponds. And, you know, I'd never been in the summertime. So this year when we went, it was just like all the trees were in bloom, and you could get in the water, and it was insane. So that's – I would highly recommend going to De Bos Park.
That's cool. Yeah, that sounds – I need to go back to Europe. If you were – when you go back again,
yes.
What's on your – must-see list that you haven't gone to yet?
I hate to admit that I haven't been to Barcelona yet, and that has been on the list. I went to Europe for New Year's as well. I love it over there. I went to Paris for the first time.
It's okay. You got all those miles from
right,
Toronto,
exactly.
LA,
going back and forth
and
for those two projects. Yeah. I'm going to start burning them up here.
I got to have a job that travels.
Me too.
I need to go to Europe
more. It's a great gig if you can get it.
Yeah.
But Paris was beautiful, and now Barcelona's next on the list. That's a must. And I want to see Switzerland. I haven't been there yet either. So those are the two that I haven't been to that I want to see.
Have you hit up like Italy?
Oh, yeah. I've done Italy and I've done Germany many times. In fact, I'm going to a convention for True Blood in Cologne, Germany in October. So I'm going back in a couple months, and I'm going to swing by Amsterdam for a few days.
That's great. Yeah. That's great to keep the True Blood, you know, moving on here and keep them going. Yeah.
Speaking of which, I'd never done this on any show yet that we've done, so I have a little surprise for you.
Oh.
Oh, he's got the...
I brought the
fangs.
I love. Yeah. Are those from the set?
These are Keith's fangs.
Wow,
that's awesome.
That is awesome.
Can they see them? Yeah, they can see them.
We're taking a picture later with the fangs.
For sure.
Like you have to bite me or something. Like pretend to bite me, not really bite me.
Chris is like, can you really bite me, please?
I'm gonna go back, and my boyfriend Ricky's gonna be like, what did you do after?
She was this vampire.
Yeah. I was turned. I swear.
No, I kept saying that I was gonna take these to a show and put them on, and I kept forgetting, and so I thought this is probably gonna be the last, unfortunately, show we do about True Blood, and I was like, when it would be weird if I was doing a talk show for Deliverance Creek, and all of a sudden I was like, hey,
hey guys.
Yeah, so here they are.
Now, how was it
wearing
them too? Like, and did you feel like it was hard to talk at first when you first had to put them in and work with them?
A little bit. As you can see, they mold. You go in and you get a mold taken of your mouth, and then they literally make it. It's like a retainer, and so it's
great. Yeah. So you've got like the Halloween costume forever now.
It blends perfectly.
Yeah. Clip in and clip out.
Right.
Just freak people out on the street.
Yeah, exactly.
Just be like, oh, do you have directions?
Yeah, exactly. I would have so much fun with fangs like that. I know. I would totally.
I got crappy fangs once. I was going to put them on for the finale, they were old after a while, and they were sideways, and like the color was kind of yellow, and I was like, I don't think this is healthy.
I got a buddy who keeps daring me to go as a lot of my different characters throughout the years for Halloween. So now Keith is on the top of the list, and that's an easy one.
Yeah, absolutely.
They let me keep my wardrobe, and they let me keep the fangs. So.
There you go. You should wear it, and then see why people are like, gosh, it's such a great Keith, not even realizing it's you. You know, like, that's so good.
Well, I had somebody come up to me. You know, I didn't realize in Sweden, because of Skarsgård mostly, because he's like a god over there. But
he's a god everywhere, I mean, to be honest.
Yeah, but over there, True Blood's huge, and I didn't know that. And so the first place I ever got recognized as Keith was in Sweden, which was a weird thing to happen. But I just, you know, just started airing, and then we took off. But somebody came up to me on the street at the festival one night, and they were like, Eric. And I was like, what are you talking about? And they're like, True Blood, Eric. And I was like, no. And my one buddy goes, no, but he's on it. And they're like, who are you? I was like, I was just on the pool table last night. Oh. That's all I had. I didn't know what else to say, really.
I love it. I was just on the pool table.
Yeah.
That was the first, like, real sex scene for Arlene, too.
It was, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was, yeah, she was really, we were both very nervous. It was both of our first sex scenes ever. They were really cool with us. The director, Simon Jays, of that episode, and they handled us with kid gloves, mostly because Carrie had never done it and they wanted to give her that respect. So I just got lucky to be grouped in with Carrie.
Yeah.
It's definitely an interesting thing to do if you ever have a chance to do it.
I'll keep it PG
because
mom's here. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's always been awkward. I told my mom, I was like, you're not going to be able to watch this one soon.
Yeah, right. I'm like, mom, you don't want to see that. And cover your ears.
The roles switch, you know, from when you're telling him to do that as a kid. Yeah. You're like, mom, maybe you should not watch this one. Well, I want to thank you so much.
I had this whole joke about Ashton Kutcher and that he was like the horse farm next door to you, and and we're going to come up with this whole rumor like that he like stole your horse one day, and now you guys never speak. We had a whole thing.
I gotta ask, how was it rooming with Ashton Kutcher? I mean, he's going to be a dad now and everything.
Yeah,
too.
I just saw Mila on the street 2 days ago. I was riding my bike down the road to go get some lunch, and there was this little pregnant girl that was really cute, and as soon as I zipped by her, I was like, that was Mila. But he's going to have a baby.
Do you still hang out? Talk to him a little bit?
I don't really. I hear...
After he stole his horse.
Yeah. After he stole my horse, we don't talk anymore. I hear that we live right by each other because we share the same Starbucks. And as you guys know, the Starbucks are like this local out here. They know everybody that comes in. And
so you probably see paparazzi popping out of garbage cans there, too.
Just go to my receipt of Starbucks. You won't have any paparazzi to worry about. So.
Our Starbucks is like it's the funniest thing. You see everybody there. It's one of those things where somebody that worked there must have done some research on us and realized that we lived together. And so one day I went in and she was like, you just missed Ashton. And And I was like, why are you telling me? She's like, well, he's in here all the time. And so now every time I miss him and I go in there to order coffee, they tell me. I'm like, I don't need to know this.
Okay.
Eventually I'll see him.
Next time you should like go in together and just freak them out.
And there's another guy, you ever watch Workaholics?
I have friends who do. I've seen a few of them.
One of the guys that's on that is from Iowa as well. So I always see him in there. He's in this, we all have the same Starbucks. It's a,
the Iowa Starbucks.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask one last question then. If you could room with anyone, because we were talking about this too. From True Blood, minus Arlene.
Okay.
Because you get the benefits with Arlene.
Right.
So we got to
cut that one out.
That's an
easy.
Both.
Yes.
If I live with anybody.
Yes. And it was not Arlene or not, you know, who would the character for Keith be and then who for Riley?
And live, like, you mean?
Like
you mean like on a pool table live?
No, just a roommate.
Like
an Ashton thing.
Ashton.
I don't know. Maybe what you and Ashton did is your own business, but I'm saying like a roommate thing.
Ashton stole the horse and now you have to fill the void in your apartment.
So you have a roommate.
Who do you?
I would choose Ryan Kwan, Jason, to be my roommate. He's fun. Right,
I mean, we heard always he was the one that was the practical joker on the set.
He is, and he's such a lighthearted, fun guy, and he's an Aussie. I've never met an Aussie I didn't like. They're just great.
They
people.
Are happy people.
Awesome,
yeah.
People.
Everybody.
Yeah, they're great. So yeah, I would say Quentin, aka Jason.
Yeah.
Would you want to rate room with Jason Stackhouse though?
No, because I'm a neat freak. I'm a real clean freak, and he seems like he would be the most annoying roommate ever.
Yeah.
But, you know, in between the hours of drinking and passing out, he'd be the most fun, I think. Yeah.
She almost goes sooky because she knows how to get blood out of carpet and just keep everything
clean. Right,
yeah,
that would be a good person to be with clean.
Yeah.
She'd be a neat freak.
Who would you hate to room with?
Jason when I'm not drinking.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll go with that one.
I like it. Any final thoughts, Scott?
I mean, we could talk forever, but
I know, right?
We should probably wrap it up so you can get back out of here.
So where can fans find you, Riley, besides Lifetime, September 13th?
I'm also on Twitter. My name, Riley Smith, and yeah, that's about
awesome.
It.
Awesome.
Perfect. And Scott?
Yes, well, thank you for joining us. You can find me on Twitter at SMAN80. That's SMAN80.
And you can find me on Twitter, KristenCarroll13. And thank you so much, Riley.
Yes,
I'm so glad
so
we got you in here.
Thank you guys for having me.
You know,
yeah.
So,
and tell your sis I said hi.
I will.
Yeah.
And thank you guys for watching. We'll see you next time on Spotlight On.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.